place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
6:10. Good morning. Hello. Hi.
Yes, I'm going.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Good morning.
Happy hump day.
Hi. I'm in trouble.
Why? You're not over the getting over the hump?
No, it's just that Vera, the lady trying to teach me Czech for the trip next week to Prague.
Yes.
I haven't been studying.
It's crunch time, too.
Yeah, I haven't been studying.
You know, ahoy.
I got ahoy. And,
what was that Rashi Dash one? I forgot.
Dos Vidania.
You have time, Steve. She's down here till 7:40.
Did you write these down at least? Well, how do you?
Well, she gave him an entire little cheat sheet.
Feliz Navidad. That's in there somewhere.
No. Wrong language.
John Weidman will be on later as well, along with Jeannie Gaffigan, married to Jim Gaffigan for many, many years. They've together produced over 600 children, and Jeannie has had an amazing experience in surviving a brain tumor.
Wow.
So she's written a book about that, and we'll talk to her about that. Dean's on. Adam Hogue on your Chicago Bears.
Adam Hogue.
Rokan later to plug his own show, and Karen Conti on the law in a few minutes. So here's the deal with Karen Conti today. And yeah, I'm going to get to the impeachment question. I'm going to the impeachment elephant in the room. But the Karen Conti stuff today, I want to ask Karen Conti to answer basic legal questions for you guys. So if you have questions, just basic legal stuff. Stuff you go, should I call a lawyer about this? Stuff that, you know, something's going on at work, something's going on in your personal life.
So an example would be, I got in a bar fight last night. Am I in trouble? That kind of question?
You perfectly mean? Fine. Okay. Are you confessing something here?
No, I'm kidding. Okay. Yeah.
And should I take the breathalyzer if I had a couple of drinks and I get pulled over?
Oh, that's always a good question.
And so, what about the marijuana stuff?
And should
driving
I,
now?
And what type of weed should I smoke?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's probably not what type.
Not.
I mean, that's probably not. It's a little too specific. Anyway, get your questions lined up. Anything you want to ask a lawyer and you haven't asked a lawyer, or maybe you have a lawyer, you don't like your lawyer so much, something you need to know legally from Karen Conti coming up in a few minutes.
Maybe
we'll get as many of those on as we can. You could text them to it, 312-981-7200.
Like, maybe you need a second opinion. Like, maybe you have a lawyer right now, but like a doctor, you want a second opinion.
That's a good point. Sure.
Yeah.
Your lawyer could be nuts.
Yes.
Like my lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. He's stable. He's calm. All right. So we'll get to this in greater detail throughout the show. But we don't know anything yet. Here's what we know. Nancy Pelosi is going forward with a impeachment inquiry. Now, what's the difference between an impeachment inquiry and an actual impeachment proceeding? Basically, the snacks. An impeachment inquiry is like a cheese tray, and a formal impeachment is a sit-down dinner, and you got to cook. So this will be a lot of grandstanding by both sides, and there'll be some questions answered and other things. The risk here for the Democrats is clear. And that is, once this transcript is released later, if there's nothing in it that specifically states that Donald Trump in this transcript is trying to get the Ukrainian president to investigate Joe Biden and Joe Biden's son and try to trump up some sort of ugliness about him, political dirt on the number one rival he has for his reelection bid, that's highly illegal, by the way. If there's nothing specifically in the transcript about that, then what are the Democrats going to do with that information?
Well, they also want to speak directly to the whistleblower, because transcripts, that's not the whole story. The transcript's not going to be the whole story. The White House prepares those transcripts, according to the reports I saw yesterday.
Well, that's the thing, too. There's no trust anywhere.
There's no trust, exactly. So they want to also speak with the whistleblower, and it looks like that might actually happen later this week.
The trust level is completely gone. The whistleblower deals with the IG, I believe, specifically. It's the person, if you think of your HR person at work, somebody should be able to go to and talk about your boss behind his or her back because you have a problem at work. That's who the whistleblower is supposed to be able to go to. But all of this is allegedly going to be revealed later today. And if the Democrats have gone forward with this impeachment inquiry without really knowing what's going on after hedging their bets for months, they should just disband the party. They should just shut it down. And Trump will have more Twitter fire than ever. And by the way, if the president did nothing wrong, who knows why he wouldn't want that released before, but if he did nothing wrong, then it deserves to be out there so people know.
I'm sure you remember this much more clearly than I do, but so will it be similar? Will it have the same type of gusto and, you know, the same sort of procedure that it did with Bill Clinton when they started?
Well, it's different. Because Clinton was an actual impeachment proceeding with a full sit-down dinner.
Okay, gotcha.
As opposed to a cheese jury.
Multiple courses, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this isn't there yet.
Okay.
This is another way for the Democrats and Pelosi to hedge their bets to try to secure their own reelection. Because remember, the great goal of the Democrats and the Republicans in Washington is not to help you or me. What are you, crazy? It's to keep their job. And that's been shown again and again and again from both parties. All right, so anyway, we'll find out what we find out, and we'll come back with the top six at six. Steve will tell us when all that's going to get released this morning, because they call him first.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
I got to take my headphones off so I can get a picture of the sunrise. Anybody wants a picture of a super cool sunrise? Get the 303 Swacker. I mean, super quick.
You want me? I could take one and send it to you.
You should do that anyway. But hold on, just you guys cover me for a second.
Yes.
It's gorgeous. It's like a meld of colors: orange, pink,
orange,
peach.
There's a
looking good.
Red.
It's got vivid that shadowy effect. It's kind of Lion Kingy.
Oh, it
is.
Yeah,
that's good.
I didn't do a very good job of that, did I?
It's almost like you were channeling.
Okay. I tried.
The whole African experience.
This is what happens.
Here's the thing that's going to be a problem for my photo of the amazing sunrise, is because of the reflective nature of the glass in the studio, apparently above the water in the lake are computer monitors that are floating in the sky. Either that or they were bouncing off in their my monitors.
Did you make it into the picture? Are you also in the sunrise?
No. Look, I took a shot. That's it. Top six at six, item number one. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Tuesday that the House would open an impeachment inquiry into President Trump, as we just discussed, sets the stage for the big fight between Congress and the president a year away from the 2020 election. The president has seemingly admitted that he did what the Democrats are accusing him of doing. A transcript of the phone call where all this started that was complained about by a whistleblower will be released this morning, as will the specific whistleblower's identity in the complaint itself. Now, we probably will get leaks of all of that, but we may not know the identity of the whistleblower until the whistleblower speaks later on. Pelosi said the actions of the Trump presidency have revealed the dishonorable fact of the president's betrayal of his oath of office, betrayal of our national security, and betrayal of the integrity of our elections. No one is above the law. The thing that is just outlandish about this is, if this is true, this means that President Trump is repeating 2016, when he stood up in front of the world and said, Russia, if you have Hillary's emails or you can find the 30,000 emails, you should go ahead and do it. This is a specific repetition of this. The only difference is Hillary's now Joe Biden. Ukraine, if you can dig up dirt on Ukraine, you should do it. So is this a president that's just put upon by the rules and doesn't understand them? Doesn't matter. Is this a president that's being picked on by the Democrats? Well, I guess we'll find out. Steve, what time are we going to get this information?
I don't know that there's going to be a public release date, time of this information.
Well, you're going to tell us when you have
it. We get it. We'll know. But I don't know that there's anything planned. There's not a planned exact time for it.
Okay. But I would assume it'll be this morning. So we'll find out. And we'll keep an eye on it for you. Questions before we proceed?
No, I just was surprised. Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution specifically mentions treason and bribery as grounds for impeachment, but also stipulates that other high crimes and misdemeanors are sufficient.
Well, that's the great question about the impeachment, is the language of the people when the Constitution was written. What are high crimes and misdemeanors?
And the most common interpretation of this language, impeachment does not require the allegation of a crime, but simply some grave act or pattern of misconduct deemed by Congress as necessitating this radical remedy.
And remember, that's what Bob Mueller was saying to Congress. He did not in any way, shape, or form acquit Donald Trump of being involved in a whole bunch of borderline or completely illegal shenanigans from 2016. He said if they had information that would have exonerated the president, they would have said it. That's not an acquittal. That's not a you're not guilty.
One of the other things that we'll be seeing here pretty quickly, now that this formal impeachment inquiry is underway, is subpoenas will be harder to not abide by. The Supreme Court decided during Watergate that when the Congress is investigating the president for impeachment, specifically and formally, it is very hard to say, no, I'm not bringing that information, or I'm not going to testify. And the Congress will be able to get an expedited hearing probably before the Supreme Court on that.
The weirdness of all of this goes back to the 90s, where the Republicans went nuts on Bill Clinton and wanted Bill Clinton removed because of his Monica Lewinsky good times, and now are just outraged that the Democrats would want the same. There's hypocrisy on both sides. But there's no equivalency, because the guy in the office currently is Donald Trump. He's the guy the questions have to be answered by. I said it in the 90s. I'll say it again. I think Bill Clinton should have been removed from office. There was an impeachment. There's your public scolding. And he ended up winning the Senate trial by not being found guilty of what he was charged with, even though he lied under oath. The office of the president gets demeaned if someone in the office is engaging in criminal behavior. And there's no equivalency. We go, all politicians lie. All politicians are crooks. If you want to live in a country like that, congratulations. I think the president needs to be held to higher standards. So we'll see if this goes anywhere today. If you are conscious from the neck up, you probably are assuming it won't because of all the things that have happened in the past. But we'll see. What is it the president says all the time? We'll have to see. Let's see. We'll have to see. Yeah, that's probably where we are here. All right, next. Federal agents on Tuesday raided the Springfield and Cicero offices of longtime Democratic State Senator Martin Sandoval, as well as his family's Southwest Side home. It's part of an ongoing criminal investigation. I don't want you to think all the criminals are in Washington. We still have plenty of them here.
We seem to have had our share.
This is Illinois, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, come on. Investigators are looking into allegations that Sandoval used his official position to steer business of at least one company his way, or his directed way, in exchange for kickbacks. No criminal charges have been filed yet. But I got to say, it doesn't look great for Mr. Sandoval. Next, Devin Sloan, the founder and CEO of a provider of a drinking water and wastewater system situation, paid $250,000 to get his kid into USC falsely as a water polo player. Sound familiar at all? Sound familiar? Rich guy gets his kid into school.
Water's involved.
Sentenced to 4 months in prison. He's going to do 4 months as part of the college admissions scam. He must also serve 500 hours of community service and pay a $95,000 fine. When does Jesse or Joey? What was
Felicity?
John Stamos's wife name on Full House? Jesse.
It's Jesse. Well, Jesse was her name on the
Aunt Becky.
Lori.
Lori Loughlin.
No, I know it's Lori Loughlin. What was her character name on Full House?
I think
he just said it.
Aunt Becky.
Yeah.
Aunt Becky. There you go. Yeah. Thank you. Aunt Becky. Is she going to a real prison or a false prison? You know, is she going to a TV prison or is she actually going to a real prison? Because she is going to jail.
So wherever it's going to be a Full House.
Where was Martha Stewart?
All right, go ahead and smack yourself, because I can't reach you from here. That's the voice of John DeCoste, by the way. Where was Martha Stewart? She was in West Virginia.
Maybe she'll go to one like that.
Next, scientists have added a galloping, growing evidence-based link to air pollution to poor health. This is one of these studies that would make Orrin Samuelson's head explode. Orrin Samuelson always hated studies, because studies would cost millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they would come back like when the sun sets, it gets darker. And this study seems to be possibly one of those. Researchers at the University of Cincinnati looked at admissions to the Cincinnati Children's Emergency Department between 2011 and 2015. It says there's association between health and levels of air pollution, and it turns out kids in particular got sicker when there was more pollution in the air.
Yeah.
This is breaking science news.
Duh.
No. Is that the duh study?
Yeah.
Next, J.P. Morgan Chase and Fifth Third Bank will announce today six other banks and foundations joining their Entrepreneurs of Color Fund. $9.1 million, that's the pot available to minority-owned businesses in the city's neglected South and West Sides. Remember, there are neighborhoods that go back to the fires of 1968 after Martin Luther King was killed, that neighborhood lots that were never rebuilt. So this is an opportunity for black entrepreneurs to step up. Next. Well, its competitors have had online stores for many years. Marshalls announced Tuesday the launch of its first online store, which is live and open for business now. The problem is the website is slightly defective. And when you go there to the Marshalls website, you may or may not get in. You may or may not be able to place an order. It's not like regular websites where, you know, you can. You can get right in. You can place an order. It's the Marshalls website. So.
Do you shop at Marshalls?
Seems like a lot of work for
have
that
you,
joke,
have you shopped?
It?
Have you shopped at Marshalls?
Sure, I've been to Marshalls. Yeah.
The thing about Marshalls is you just don't know what's going to be there.
Yeah. It's a surprise.
Right.
Marshalls and TJ Maxx. I mean, there's great deals there. You got to look for them.
And Ross. I like Ross, too.
I like Ross, too. He's my son.
You named him. You named him after the store.
I named him after the store. That's exactly right. 6:29 at your top 6 at 6.
That's it.
That's all today for the top 6 at 6.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Line up right now if you have a legal question for Karen Conti. I'm going to take as many calls, many text messages as you want. As I should say. 312-981-7200. What do you want to ask a lawyer? 312-981-7200.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Stan, we'll get to you in just a second. Some texters as well. And you guys on the phone asking your legal questions. Good morning, Karen Conti.
Good morning, Steve Cochran.
You mind if we start off with an email I just got? Because this seems like big news to me. A woman named Stephen, or a man, I should say, named Stephen Stella, writes, "Attention, beneficiary. I'm writing to inform you that the Ministry of France has approved and instructed me to deposit $5.5 million with Western Union Money Transfer. It's a cash payment. Here's your file number." I mean, that's great news.
Wow. Gosh, it happened to me, too. Isn't that a coincidence?
I mean, normally I just get the emails that there's some place in Africa that wants to know if I'd like to, you know, have size be a part of my life. This is much different. This is just money.
Just to let you know, I think it's a scam. The fourth time I sent them money.
Time four, you finally caught up.
What's your email address?
So can we safely say as a blanket statement, if a lawyer needs to contact you about an inheritance or about money owed to you, they're not going to just send you an email. True or false?
That's true. They probably wouldn't even have your email. They'd probably mail it to you. It probably comes certified mail or something like that.
So don't respond to emails that lead to, if you leave us some money to cover our costs, we'll send you the money that we made up that's in this email.
That's complicated, but it'll work for me.
Okay. All right. It doesn't have to be complicated, though, right? I mean, just
no.
Don't believe crap you get an email.
And the other thing, too, is the IRS. I hear a lot of people say they get notices from the IRS, you're in trouble, you have to send money now, and they get an email. That's something you have to really be careful of, too, because the IRS doesn't really operate like that. Like, you know, you'll get a notice, you'll know your money's due, and there's a procedure there. But don't just go sending your money to some unknown post office box.
All right, well, I'm going to keep working, even though I have $5 million waiting for me. I'll just pick it up after the show. All right, let me go to line one and Stan. Ask a lawyer, not just any lawyer, the great Karen Conti. Stan.
Good morning. I'm proud to be on the Conti and Cochran show today.
There you go. You're
thank
good
you
man.
Very much for picking my call.
This is you Stan, notice how he put my name first?
Yes.
Hey, I live in a condominium.
Okay.
And they've known for years they had a special project coming up, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They decided to take a bullet on it, get the project done. Then they want to dump more than $2,000 on every homeowner. They have enough money in the coffers. Do they have this right to do this at any given time, knowing that the project was upcoming?
You know, they have a right to do that. I mean, the first thing you always do when you have a condominium dispute is look at the bylaws and see what the rules are about what they can do and how they can do it. Normally speaking, they have great discretion to decide what they need to have done and how much it's going to cost and how it's going to be assessed. And that's the problem with living in a condo association, and that's why a lot of people get involved in the management of it, because they want to have some semblance of control over it. But, you know, I would have to look at your bylaws and see if they're violating anything. Otherwise, they're probably able to do it.
So wouldn't it make more sense as a business proposition that they tell the people in the condo association that this is coming up next year and this is how much money we'll need from you next year, or they don't have an obligation to do that?
Well, they sure they should, because there are going to be people who don't have that money,
right,
of course. And then what happens? You know, there's going to be liens, there's going to be monies owed, there's going to be judgments and litigation. So this is really bad management, and, you know, it's too bad that there aren't people on the board that can veto this and say, you know, well, let's do it in pieces, or let's do it differently, or do it in a way that people can afford.
All right, hold on.
They have tried.
They have tried. They have tried what?
To veto it out. Management always shuts them down and says, we're doing what's best for everybody else, along with the management company always taking their service fees for getting all the projects done.
Sounds lovely. Hold on, Stan, because I want to get you Conti's number and you guys can continue to talk about this, okay? Karen, you can handle that, yes?
Sure, 312-332-7800 or WGN at AskKarenConti.com. And one last piece here. I've heard a lot in the recently about homeowners associations cutting deals with vendors and things like this. So maybe someone on the board knows somebody and then gets a contract with that contractor, and then they get a kickback. So these are things you really have to watch and be vigilant of. And again, I don't love the idea of getting involved in homeowners boards personally, but you might want to be overlooking what's going on, because there's a lot of corruption. Whenever there's money, there's going to be people who are going to take advantage of it.
We'll come back and take some calls in a second. Let me get a couple of texts in before the break. 773, possible question for Karen Conti. I wonder what the difference is between a startup lawyer, a small business lawyer, and a corporate lawyer.
There's no real, those aren't words that I use. A lawyer who does business transactions should probably be able to do all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no difference. I mean, corporate lawyer just means you don't do litigation. We kind of separate litigation, which is a fighting part, versus corporate, which means putting together the deal, putting together the agreements, doing incorporations and that type of thing. So
specializing,
not,
right? I mean, in some ways you specialize, like a doctor would specialize.
Yeah, we call it, we can't say specialized for some reason in our field. We say concentrator practice. But listen, anyone can hold themselves out to be a specialist in a field. That doesn't mean they have a special certification or a special experience. They just hang out a shingle and say that. So you got to be really careful when you deal with lawyers, because you need to know how much experience they truly have.
815, if they caught the person that stole my identity that had opened accounts in my name, can I pursue civil action towards them and against them?
Sure you can, but the problem is, if you get a judgment against them, you get a lawsuit, go through the lawsuit, get a judgment, is that person going to have assets for you to collect from? That's a whole separate action. They have a house, do they have a car, do they have a job?
They're going to have to steal somebody else's identity and get the money from there.
That's right. Peter to pay Paul. Yeah,
so,
and if they're going to jail, they probably don't have anything. So
I think that's called a Madoff.
Yeah, don't spend the money getting the judgment unless you know you can collect.
More with Attorney Conti coming up. Karen Conti joins us again. When are you on the radio?
On the radio on Sunday nights from 7 to 9, although this Sunday I am preempted by some sporting event.
I don't think we call it some sporting event around here. We say it's fabulous sporting entertainment.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Let's get Jonathan in here. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning.
What is your question?
I have a three-year-old son, and I'm having issues with his mother. We're not together,
mm-hmm,
and she hasn't let me see my son in about 3 months now.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I'm engaged, and she found out that me and my fiance are having a baby. I have a baby girl coming. And ever since she found out, she has not let me or anybody in my family see my son.
If you're going through a divorce, a separation or a divorce, do not use your children as a weapon. Karen, do you see this all the time?
I see it all the time. And Jonathan, do you have a parenting agreement, like a judgment that tells you when your parenting time is supposed to be?
No. That's what I'm trying to get out.
Okay.
Because we never had any agreement. I was just trying to do things peacefully with him without involving courts.
Yeah, that doesn't appear to be working out. So what does he do next?
So this is a word to everybody. A lot of people don't get that parenting agreement. They say everything's working out fine, and so I'm not going to have it, and we'll be flexible. But the problem is when this happens, when there's a jealousy or an envy or a problem in the family, now she's withholding the children, which is terrible. Shame on you wherever you are. And now you have to go to court, and your poor kids don't know where you are, and she's probably bad-mouthing you. So my advice to everybody is always have a parenting agreement, even if you're getting along with someone. Better than when you're getting along with someone to get that done, because you can at least agree to things, put it in writing, and so you know exactly who has Christmas, who has weekend, who has vacation time. All of that should be in writing.
And you can do that before you're divorced?
Yes, you can do it before your divorce, and you can do it when you're never married. A lot of people, okay, you know, have children without being married, of course, and that you can go into court and get that done and enter it, and then it becomes the law. And so there's always that fallback. Again, you can be flexible and you can change things, but you can always have that as a fallback for this terrible situation. And I'll bet the court system is really not taking care of you, Jonathan, probably taking its time, and meanwhile your kids aren't seeing you.
Yes, man. It's become a very long process and right, very expensive.
And that's the thing. You have to invest in your freedom if you choose to go this route. And, Jonathan, I'm sorry this is happening to you, because it's not your kid's fault.
He's the one that's suffering over all of this.
Well, both of you. But, yeah, he should be able to see you and his mom.
And ask her when this is over, and you tell the judge that this has been withheld from you. Ask for makeup time. Ask for some chunks of time during the Christmas holidays. Ask for some extra weekends so you can rebond with your child. And that's what you need to do.
And if you have a lawyer you're not happy with, call Karen and she'll help you or find somebody.
Okay. Could I get her telephone number?
Hold the line, buddy.
Sure. 312.
Yep.
332-7800 or WGN at AskKarenConti.com.
All right, we'll try to grab another call here before we're done. But in the meantime, texters, another divorced dad, what's the legal obligation for college tuition? Is there anything legal the ex can do related to college tuition payments? How's that determined?
Any spouse, ex-spouse, can petition the court to have the other spouse contribute to college. And it will depend upon the child's aptitude, where the child wants to go, the kinds of, what do the parents earn. Sometimes the judge will say a child must get a third out in student loans, and each parent pays a third. Some say you guys can afford it, so we're going to have a 50-50 split. The limit on what the court can order the parents to pay is the tuition at U of I. So whatever that is, if it's $30,000 or whatever it is with room and board, that is the limit that the judge can order you to pay.
224, I have a friend who sold his house to a neighbor. The knucklehead showed up blind, blackout, drunk, without an attorney to the closing. My question is, at the closing, why didn't they stop it and reschedule because of the state he was clearly in?
Well, they should have, because you don't want people signing documents, right, especially very important documents binding you to thousands of dollars without, you know, with people being drunk. So, nope, should have been stopped. Absolutely.
Yeah, it sounds pretty shady. 608, my employer's mandating we buy new work uniforms with their logo embroidered. As of 2020, we cannot wear scrubs without their logo. Is that legal?
Sure it is. It's a uniform, right?
Yes.
I don't see why that wouldn't be. And yes, they can make you buy your uniforms. Absolutely.
And if you don't want to buy their uniforms, you don't have to work there. Is that the answer?
That's right. Okay. That's right.
708, is there someone over a homeowners association if you feel you're being discriminated by your HOA?
Is there somebody, could you read that again?
So is there someone, is someone has sway over an HOA if you feel that HOA is discriminating against you in some way?
Yeah, well, just the discrimination would have to be something based upon a prohibited, something prohibited, like gender, race, national origin, that type of thing. If they're just discriminating against you, meaning they're treating you differently than somebody else in this condo association, that's really not actionable. So generally speaking, the discrimination laws would apply. Although, again, go to your homeowners association bylaws, because it could be that there are rules about treating people the same. I know sometimes the bylaws will have verbiage like that that will help you. Like, for instance, if one person planted a tree here and they say no and now they say yes, that you would have some right to dispute based upon that.
Caller, we're not going to have time to get to you here, but hold on. We'll see if we can get you an answer off the air. And Karen, again, you're on the radio Sunday nights, unless there's a major sporting event that can't be missed. This Sunday is what, Dave?
It's Hampton OB.
That's a major sporting event that can't be missed.
Yes, it is. Have you ever been in there with them?
Absolutely. And, Karen, the one thing is, when you're preempted by Hampton OB, you have the right to come in here and eat their pizza.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep, I'm always here for you. Thank you, Karen.
All right, have a good one.
And, it was probably fair to at least hear what this guy's question was. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. How's my favorite boyfriend?
Who is this?
What do you mean, who is this? You come on, you're my number one Swiftie. This is Taylor Swift.
Hi, this is Taylor Swift?
Well, you know, you surprised me when... at the release of my Lover album and, of course, Reputation. So I thought I would do the same. I would come to Chicago and surprise you for your big comedy show on Friday night, sweetheart.
Oh, so you're calling for ticket information.
Yeah. This
is starting to make sense.
I'm not going to bother you with trying to get freebies. I just, you know, I've got so many friends.
No. We'll put you on the comp list. No, we'll put you on the comp list. It's Taylor Swift calling. And Taylor, you leader of all of us Swifties, tickets are very reasonable. I think too reasonable. They're $30. Beverly Arts Center, 2407 West 111th, 773-445-3838, or it's beverlyartscenter.org. You can also go to wgnradio.com/events. That's probably the best place for you to go. And it's all sponsored by Cobblestone Development, Chicago's premier home remodeler, window, siding, kitchen, baths, and more.
Can't wait to see my number one Swiftie, my new boyfriend.
You're Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Why do you did this? You did this backstage when I had you do a guest song. You did the same thing. You pretended you didn't know me.
Well, it's just it's probably
it's bad. Your thing. It's your thing. It's okay.
Maybe that's
it's
a good.
Okay.
Hey, that's a good song title for you. It's your thing. Maybe it's the phone line, but that voice did not sound. It does sound like Taylor Swift to you guys.
Very similar.
Yeah, she must have had a rough night.
Maybe
how many
throat problems?
Celebrities do you get out there at the Beverly Arts Center?
Quite a few. Week? And apparently Taylor Swift's going to be there. We're going to come back, get your news in a moment on 720 WGN. One week from today, we all get on aeroplanes. Okay, just me. And we go to Prague. Okay, just me. To meet the Blackhawks there after a good time in Berlin. And the Hawks open the regular season 1 week from Friday in Prague. I think they're playing at the castle. I think they're just icing off the, you know, maybe the moat.
The moat, yes.
Yeah,
they're
going to freeze
the
moat.
They bring in the thing they use for the Winter Classic to make the ice.
Right, exactly. And the Zamboni driver thinks it's cool when he gets to drive the moat.
Yes.
In front of another Blackhawks season, we always like to talk to our friend and the play-by-play voice of your Chicago Blackhawks all season long on WGN, the home of the Blackhawks. It's John Weideman. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing fine and looking forward to seeing you in Prague.
Oh, you're going to be there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Yeah, it's as am I. That's a city that I've actually been wanting to visit my entire life, so I guess I can cross this off the bucket list. But if we get to go over there and handle the broadcast of the game as well, and, visiting Berlin as well before we go to Prague, I mean, it's going to be an interesting trip. So Looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to being away from my family, but, you know, it's all part of the trip, I guess.
Well, I don't want any guilt to be a part of this, but I'm actually bringing my wife and daughter.
Oh, man.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. That makes me feel a lot better. Yeah.
All right, so in Berlin, are the names of the opponents going to be harder to pronounce than they will when you start the regular season against the Flyers?
Somewhat. I was looking at their roster the other night. My wife is somewhat fluent in German, and so if you look at the German Ice Baron roster, you see that about a third of it is comprised of North American players. So, and there, some of them I've already called the names of, you know, like James Shepherd is on that team. Excuse me, a guy named Maxim LaPierre is on that team. Mm-hmm. So there's a few North American guys that are on that team, but the there are some German-born, of course, German-born players on the team, and their names are a little bit off. Like, if anybody out there listening knows the German language, when you look at a name spelled with the German letters, it can be like, as an example, it can be FLOER. IAN, and over the O, there are two dots, and that's called an umlaut, and that makes the pronunciation a little bit different. So fortunately, my wife says, you know, you have to say that name like this, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, how many people in Chicago or wherever they might be listening are going to really know? So,
but I also know John Weideman's commitment to professionalism. You will make yourself crazy to get this right.
You know what, Steve? I'm inclined to do that. So yeah. I have a feeling I'm going to try and pronounce it the right way. And I'm sensitive to that because people have been mispronouncing my last name my entire life. So it's like, okay, let's make sure we get it right.
I
yeah.
can relate to
yeah.
that, too. Yeah.
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 Dave, say hi to John.
John, good morning. So as this team gets ready to head overseas, they have a preseason game tonight with Washington right. at the United Center. There are still a few spots to be determined here. What's the biggest question roster-wise in your mind with one game to go before they head for Germany?
Well, for me, it's going to be, you know, the final forward spots, I believe, because I think the defensive spots, you know, they're somewhat in question, but my belief is that if Calvin DeHaan cannot play to start the regular season, and there's that possibility, but if he can't play to start the regular season, then I think you're going to see, my belief is that you're going to see Slater Cuckoo and Carl Dahlstrom as the final two defensemen. Okay. As far as the forwards are concerned, we've got a really good problem there. There have been some forwards in camp, Dominic Kubalik, Anton Vedin, Alexei Sorella. Those three, and then a couple names escape me, but there's been some great competition for that final forward spot or final couple forward spots. And I don't know how they're going to make up the roster if they go one defenseman heavy or maybe the extra guys. It's going to be the way it usually is, two forwards and one defenseman. Either way, the competition has been great. The decisions to make the cuts and send somebody to Rockford, keep the other guys, they're going to be very, very difficult. And that makes it good for the Blackhawks. That makes them more of a competitive team. They're going to be a deeper team at every position. And I believe that because of that, and I give Stan Bowman a ton of credit. He went out in the offseason and he fortified the team. And I believe that they're going to be a much more competitive team going into this season than they were coming out of last season.
How about these Kane and Taves kids? Do you think they got to? No, how about, seriously, how about Nylander? Do you think that it's pretty much set that he's going to be on the roster?
I mean, I'm not the one that makes that decision, but I will say that his showing in camp has been very positive. He's been good, brilliant at times. I think what they're looking for him, and I think they want to see it in tonight's game against Washington. Now, keep in mind, guys, the Capitals come to Chicago. They're going to have almost an entire NHL roster, okay? It's not – there's only just a couple of kids that are with this Capitals lineup here tonight. So we're going to see pretty much the Washington Capitals team for the regular season. So if Nylander plays tonight, and I expect him to play, they're going to be watching to see how he plays against a team that's pretty close to the National Hockey League team that they're on. Washington is not an easy team. They're not obviously cup champs a couple of years ago. They're going to have a burr under their saddle to try and get back there. So I think tonight could be a pretty good indicator as to what they want to decide on Nylander. I think they're looking for him to have a big game so that they can make that decision easy. But if he is, let's say he's not even in the lineup, then maybe that decision has already been made. Maybe the guy that plays for the Blackhawks, and guys, I haven't gotten the roster yet, so I don't know who's in the lineup. But let's say that guy is Alexei Sorella. Who we got from Carolina in the trade with Calvin DeHaan. You know, maybe they're looking for him to show them, you know, one more time that he belongs in the National Hockey League. I believe Dominik Kubalík is going to be on the team. I think he's already made the team, but, you know, I guess we'll find out when the cuts are made.
I'm looking at the Berlin roster that you have to know, Cold, and I wouldn't go on the trip if I were you. I'm just calling sick. Florian Kettemer.
Yeah.
Is that close?
That's very good, Steve.
Is that close?
Florian Kettemer, yeah.
Yeah, Florian Kettemer. And that's just that's just one. Wait till he gets to Leonhard Föder. You know what? Just do the Schultz thing from Hogan's Heroes and go, I know nothing! Just do that whenever you run into a tough one. That's my advice to you, my friend.
Yeah, I'll do a Sergeant Schultz. Maybe I could do a Colonel Klink, you know, Hogan.
Yeah, that'll be helpful. That'd be very helpful. Thank you, John.
Hey, great talking with you, Steve. Thanks for having me on. And Dave, I want to say to the listeners before I go, congratulations to you on 30 years with Northwestern football. I was there that day when they honored you for 30 years with when they played UNLV, and I was just happy to be part of the honorarium. And you're a class guy, and happy to see that it happened for you. So congratulations.
Very kind. Thank you, John.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Dave has gone on and on about it off the air. He just, G, you'll back me up. He will not stop
He's
talking.
He's really uncontrollable. I just
That's me.
His head has grown so
Did you
large.
See the documentary?
The Making of Ennett?
Yeah.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
How about an organization that trains and empowers influential teen girl leaders with community organizing, advocacy, global networking? Anna Blue started it. We're going to talk to Anna in a second, but first I want to say hi to our brand new best friend, Megan McFadden, who is going into school late this morning. She's a 17-year-old senior at Naperville Central High School, and she's been a part of Girl Up for 3 years. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
You too. Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk about what makes you exceptional, and don't be modest.
So I went to the International Girl Up Summit in Washington, D.C. two years ago and heard from amazing speakers and participated in workshops and then decided to start my own club at my high school that year.
Very nice.
Thank you.
How many girls are participating at school?
Got about 15 active members.
That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's excellent. And let's get Anna in here. Have you met Anna? I don't know how this works.
I've
Do you know
her
Anna?
At the summit, yeah.
You saw her at the summit, okay. Let's go to Anna Blue, who started all of this. That must make you very proud to hear that, Anna.
Oh, absolutely. These girls are incredible.
So this started why? I mean, we need it, but why did you start it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was actually started by the United Nations Foundation almost 9 years ago. We celebrate that next week. And it was really started because we know the power of young people today. We know that they have this incredible untapped power to change the world. And everybody likes to wait till they get older and say, you know, you're the next generation. And we looked at them and said, no, you're the now generation. Let's do it. So we started it to empower them to go out and create change in their communities, to level the playing field between men and women.
Any girl or school or organization that wants more interest or wants more information, I should say, goes to what website?
GirlUp.org.
Yep. All right. So, Megan, what are you doing with your group, your club? Do I call it a club? Is that?
Yeah, we're a club.
Okay. What are you doing with those guys?
We do lots of fundraisers, Chipotle and school cycle, things like that, to get bikes for girls in Uganda to get to school faster. A lot of them, it's like a 3-hour walk to get there. We're delaying early child marriage. Just yesterday, actually, Indonesia raised the minimum age for marriage, so we're making progress.
Amen. Now, that's not stuff that is covered in the Naperville curriculum.
No.
So where do you get that information? Curiosity or just...
I've always had a passion for girls and women's issues. Girl Up is great at keeping us informed in the problems out there and what we can do about it.
G?
Yeah, who says that millennials don't care about the world and everything going on?
Well, she's not a millennial. What's the next generation
called?
What are
you? Gen Z.
Gen Z.
Gen Z. Even better than millennials.
Yeah, the millennials are still a huge disappointment. So you got that going for you.
Well, tell us, how have you personally changed throughout this entire process?
Yeah, I've learned so much about leadership and everything. I got to work with a girl from Taiwan at the last International Leadership Summit and put on a presentation about how to start Girl Up clubs. So that collaboration and getting to meet other girls in the Chicago area has been really important, and just gaining compassion and understanding for all the 130 million girls out there without access to education.
As a 17-year-old, right now your schedule is really busy. So the fact that you're finding time to volunteer and give back is pretty incredible. What's on your horizon? Are you looking at schools for next year?
Yes, I haven't decided on a college yet, but I'm looking to go there and study political science, which has been fueled by
I'm voting for you.
Girl Up. Thank you. And I've gotten to meet with all my lawmakers through Girl Up, and it's really sparked a passion in me.
And the more you tell your friends how important it is, even if they're not 18, 17, you can register to vote.
I am registered to
Yes!
And the more you tell your friends how important it is, the better. I mean, you saw Greta Thunberg has done this week.
Yes.
And so she's amazing. And it's unfortunate that we have to turn to you to fix our problems as adults, but you know what? We'll take them any way we can get them.
Yeah, we've screwed it up really
Guns
bad.
And climate and girls and everything.
We're doing our best.
Anna, what's the message you want people to get?
Well, your listeners in Chicagoland, we are doing a Unite the Midwest Summit this weekend, this Saturday, for teen girls coming in from Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana. So we're really excited about that. And we still have a few spots open. So anybody that wants to come out and participate should register. And the biggest message, you know, that we give is that adults should really start listening and learning from young people. They have so much to say, so much to give, and so much ability to take action to create change, and we should all really start paying attention.
Well said by you. Thank you for being on, and I appreciate it. And Megan, before we let you go, you got to go back to school now. Is there any particular annoying teacher you'd like us to suck up to so you don't get in trouble?
I'm actually really lucky to have great teachers, and school doesn't start till 9 today, so.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay.
Megan's a dream. She even said she's not even going to be late to class today. She's going to make it on time.
All right, well, call us when you decide on a school so we can announce it.
Thank you.
Great to meet you.
You too. Thank you.
And let's do this. 7:32. Headlines next.
Splish, splash. I was taking a bath.
A traditional 30-minute beer pearl bath, plus a memorable e-photo. Unlimited consumption of beer from the brewery that's attached to this. A 30-minute relaxation in a heated bed and an original souvenir for everybody involved.
There's someplace here where they have, like, beer baths.
Wouldn't you be all sticky when you got out?
It's kind of like your big bratwurst.
Smell like beer.
Do you get bubble bath with that?
What do you wear on a beer bath? You're not naked, huh? Well, it's really none of my business. I don't even know why I brought it up. Except for the fact that Prague is the beer capital of the world. Pragians, Pragites.
Is that what they're called?
Progsters. Drink more beer per person than anybody in Europe, partly because it's cheaper than water. How about that?
Absolutely.
Our friend Vera is here. Vera knows from this stuff. Her family is Czech.
Vera! We love her!
We're trying to figure out a way to keep her on the show and get rid of me. But Vera, it is nice to have you back, or as I like to say, daikuyi for coming in.
Prosim. That's the response.
Prosim is please and thank you. That's very confusing.
Well, I think that's the word you said. He just needs to go around saying those, that all
Prosim.
The time.
Prosim.
Just go around repeating
it. If you lift your voice at the end, you're asking a question. Like, what? Prosim?
Oh, I got you. Okay, now I've pulled a couple of phrases. I don't have them memorized yet, but just check my pronunciation on these, okay? Dobry den. Prosim promenite. Gdje je zhod?
Promiňte, kde je hrad?
Kde je hrad?
Very good.
Okay, what did I say?
You said, excuse me, can you please tell me where the castle is?
Wow.
See?
You've got to find the castle.
He's understandable.
Yeah, no, but I think the problem is, from anywhere in Prague, you could turn around and see the castle.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. So it's a really useless phrase.
Right. So I think I would probably go around saying, more often than not, Nerozumím. Nerozumím.
Nerozumím.
Nerozumím, mm. Which means?
I don't understand.
I don't get it. I'm just going to walk around going, Nerozumím. Nerozumím.
You should find out what the word is for, like, moron or something, in case somebody calls you something and you don't know what they're saying to you.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
So if they say...
How would I say, I'm a moron?
If you say that I'm a moron, yeah. Semvul, you might say, which actually means you're an ox, which is kind of...
That actually sounds like soup.
But
like a big bowl of semvul.
But Vera, what's the word you don't want to hear come out of somebody's mouth that they're calling you?
You wouldn't want them to call you a bup or a bubets.
That's insulting.
Bup doesn't need a vowel even, because okay. We don't need vowels.
Remember that one, Steve. Yeah. That's so,
bubet?
Bubets?
Or bubets.
That's insulting.
Bubets.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Bobettes!
Hey, Bobettes! Why'd I make him Italian now?
Sorry, yeah, I make Bobettes. Everything Italian, Bobettes. I'm sorry. I was Italian in a past life, that's why.
Remember, first syllable, oh. Bobettes.
Bobettes!
That's it.
All right, what about this? Prosim, promenite, prosim uche. Or uchet.
Oh, prosim, uchet, yes.
Prosim uchet.
The bill, please. The check, please.
Okay, so I could get by with
you
that.
Could, yes, you could.
And you're probably not going to be saying that very much.
Oh.
Asking for the check?
Yeah.
I pay for everything.
Oh, okay. See?
Yeah. What am I paying it for? What's check dollars? Checkies?
Koruny. Crowns. Koruny.
Oh, crowns.
Koruny. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. He needs to learn how to say, lead me towards the sapphires. I have to bring.
No. You don't want sapphires. You want garnets.
Oh, sorry. Garnets.
No, I heard you say sapphires the other day,
I'm
and
so
I was
sorry.
Yelling you at my radio.
Yeah, you should have just texted me. Garnets. Where are the garnets
the garnets?
And Mary and Viv?
We're not
I would just say, granati, just with the inflection at the end of the
like
word.
It's a question.
Yeah.
Granati?
Granati?
How about granati prosim?
That would be good. Yes.
Okay, why is yes, ano, and no is ne?
Why? You want me to give you the history?
Well, I guess that doesn't make sense either. Clearly, once again, nerozumím. It is repetition, right? It's right,
it
like
is.
Anything. Like
yeah, everything, anything. Yes. Like right? Riding a bike, once you get back up on it, you just keep trying.
All right, during the break, I want you to, when we come back, I want you to give me two or three phrases that I'm going to need. Because if I remember two or three, that's going to be as good as it gets.
Bubet!
Yeah. Well, outside of bubet. We'll come back to that in a second. Vera's here. We leave for Prague 1 week from today. And Dave, when I say we, who do I mean?
You mean you and your family.
Yeah, sorry.
And the Blackhawks.
But I'm taking a bunch of listeners.
You
taking
are.
A bunch of listeners.
Hell
I'm,
yeah.
I'm flying the plane. I hope that doesn't make them nervous.
Oh, no. I don't know why it would.
Taking a bunch of listeners to Prague 1 week from today. 7:48. That's where the Blackhawks open the season against the Flyers, by the way. I'm headed straight for the cat. They want to make me their queen. And there's an old man sitting on the throne saying that I probably shouldn't be so mean. I'm headed straight for the castle. Put up steam! Means please, thank you. Anybody know where the Starbucks is? It means all those things, apparently.
Excuse me.
By the way, it's Proggers.
Proggers.
Proggers. It's not Progites. It's not Prague people. Invasion of the Prague people. All right. Vera's here. Vera's trying to teach me enough Czech that I won't be injured and thrown into the moat at the castle. So just one or two or three phrases that you think would be very helpful. And give them to me in English first.
Okay. So I would say anytime you're looking for anything, kde je.
Kde je.
Kde je, and then whatever it is, kde je.
Kde je.
That works in Australia, too.
Yeah, well, that's g'day, mate.
Oh, okay.
Kde je means where?
Where is.
Where is. But then if I say kde je...
something.
But would they, I guess, Gadea Starbucks?
Gadea Starbucks, they could point you in the direction.
Ah,
there are plenty of them.
Okay. So Gadea's where is. All right, another one, please.
Well, prosim, you already know, and that has a multiple.
That's please, thank you, and what else?
Excuse me. It can be, when you're starting to ask a question or if you're just trying to get somebody's attention.
Uh-huh.
Prosim is kind of a universal. It gets you to a lot of different places.
It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying. Is there an English equivalent of that?
Like, hey.
Well, not quite, but yeah, it's kind of like, say there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, give me another phrase, please. In English.
Well, okay. Yeah, what would you want to say? Mam halat? I'm hungry?
Mam lat.
Mam halat?
Mam halat.
But I could say that to people I'm on a trip with and stump them. I'm hungry and irritable. What is it? Mam halat?
Mam halat.
Mam halat.
Mm-hmm. Is there a word for hangry?
I don't think so. I don't think they ever get that hungry.
Where is the ATM? Gadea ATM? They don't call them ATMs.
No,
do they have ATMs?
They do. And I would recommend that's the way you get your money because you're going to get your bank's preferred rate on an exchange at any given day because it fluctuates from day to day.
Just like cash.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they'll think you're holding them up.
Vera, the banker
Gadea
as well.
Cash. Gadea ATM.
That'll get you there. They'll understand what that is. Gadea ATM.
There's no real word for
Gadea
ATM.
Banca.
Oh, Gadea Banca.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds much more international.
Sounds like
Gadea
Ivanka.
Banca. Let me see here. This is Becky. Let me get Becky in here with Vera and everybody. Hey, Becky.
How are you? The first question you ask going to any country, you learn to ask, where is the bathroom?
Oh, that's a great point. That's a great point. All right, hold on.
Well, and we talked about
that. I don't think that was Becky, by the way.
we talked about that last time. That's that. We'll get you. Just with an inflection at the end of
Vetsa.
It's the WC.
The water closet. Right. So Vetsa means where is the water closet?
Vetsa, with an inflection at the end, is a question.
If I say Gadea Vetsa, will I look more impressive?
Yeah. Sure. It'll sound like you're trying a lot more.
I could see how impressed the people are going to be. Vera, you're phenomenal to help with this. Can I call you if there's trouble?
Absolutely.
All right. You want to say hi to anybody this morning?
I want to say hi to all my Moravian friends who are having their Moravian Day this Sunday, Saturday and Sunday.
Yes, I went to a Moravian college.
You did?
Yes.
That was the religious kind of Moravian. This is more the fun-loving and dancing and singing.
Oh, is it? Oh, my goodness, yeah.
So they have a big festival.
There's like Moravian cookies and sugar cake.
Yes.
And
that's the whole Moravian Brethren.
Ah.
And they do have their roots in Moravia, but Moravia is a section. It's the more eastern section of the Czech Republic. It's right between Slovakia and Bohemia.
She's a geography teacher.
And
she's
so
a language professor.
Festival.
She's a banker. She told you to get your money at the ATM.
Gadea
because
ATM.
Of the exchange
Gadea
rates.
Banco.
So, I mean, if you want to sample some of the food, by the way, you're going to want to, you know, you're going to want food that you
and don't normally get.
Don't
All right, stand
get.
By with that because I want to ask you that too before we run out of time. When adults make prime targets for identity thieves because of their account balances, a child's information has even more value to scammers than just about anything else because they can open up an account and not worry about a kid checking his credit because Timmy doesn't know he needs to do that. Just one way cyber criminals can try to steal your stuff. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection has added the power of Norton Security to help protect you against creeps stealing your stuff. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Act now and for a limited time, get 30% off your first year with the promo code LifeLock. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code LifeLock to save 30%. Offer expires October 6th. Don't wait. Join now at LifeLock.com. We'll come back. A couple more minutes of Vera, and I got a caller to grab too before the news. Then the news. More on the impeachment, whatever today, and Dean, and more on entertainment. All coming up on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
So when the plane loads of listeners and I go to Prague next week, I'm going to be showing off my incredible talent, thanks to Vera, and I'll know like four or five words in a couple of phrases. All right, let's talk food before we run out of time.
Absolutely.
Okay. Goulash is a big thing.
Goulash is a big thing. It'll come with dumplings. They look like white bread, but they soak up the gravy really nicely.
So if I wanted beef goulash, what would I ask for?
Hovězí goulash.
Hovězí goulash.
Mm-hmm.
And hovězí means?
Beef.
Ah, hovězí goulash. Hovězí goulash, Dave. Chop, chop. Oh, Dave's not my waiter. I'm sorry.
Prosím.
And a lot of times it's made with beer, so that's why it's so tasty. It tenderizes.
What is Žižek?
Žižek is a breaded cutlet.
I thought you were saying my name.
Zizek. And it could be anything. Chicken, beef, whatever.
It might be chicken. Not beef, usually. It's either pork, veal, or chicken.
Could I get Zizek goulash?
No.
Sounds good. And Sukrana.
Sukrana, that's your fine pastry shop. You're going to get all kinds of nice sweets, layered cakes, and, oh, just yummy things like you think of Viennese-type pastry. Prague has the same kind of
stuff. So I could say Sukrana, prosim.
Yes.
And they'd go, don't you think you've had enough?
They'll just point you in the right direction because they'll know that you don't. They're not going to understand.
They're going to go, I thought you were on a diet, Chubby. That's what they're going to say.
No.
Vera, you're fabulous. Remind people what you do.
I am a township supervisor in Riverside Township, and I interpret in the courts and other places, and I translate documents. So,
and your knowledge of Czech comes from?
My home. I grew up in a Czech family. They were all recent immigrants when I came along.
You didn't have any choice.
I did not.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here, or as I like to say, thank you for being here until I remember what thank you is.
Děkuju.
What is it?
Děkuju.
Děkuju.
First syllable. First syllable.
Děkuju.
Right.
Děkuju. That's the thing. All right. All right. Thank you, Vera. Let me get one quick phone call here. Yeah, who's this?
Hey, good morning, buddy.
Yeah. Hi, how are you?
Going?
It's going fine. Who's it? Who is it?
I got up before 6 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock here in L.A. to call you. Man, it's early. I was, you know, ever since we've been hanging out together, the newspapers are calling us Brad and Stevie.
They're calling us what?
Brad and Stevie.
Is this Brad?
We're just combining our names.
Is this Brad Pitt?
What do you mean, is it Brad Pitt? All we do is hang out. What are you talking about?
It's Brad Pitt on the phone.
Wow. I didn't know you hung out with him.
Neither did I. Good morning, Brad.
Hey, how are you doing, buddy?
I got to say, again, the voice, it was like when Taylor Swift called. It doesn't sound that much like Brad Pitt.
Actually, sounds like Taylor Swift.
You know, a couple things I'm going to surprise you on Friday. I'm coming in for my new movie. We're filming my new movie in Chicago. Do you mind if I plug it real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Invasion of the Prague People.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a winner. And then Friday night, you could come up to the stand-up comedy show.
That's the whole thing. That's exactly. Brad and Stevie, one night together. How
so
about that?
Taylor Swift and Brad Pitt are going to be at the BeverlyArtsCenter.org stand-up comedy with Steve Cochran, part of the Cochran Comedy Tour. They're both going to be there. WGNRadio.com/event, sponsored by Cobblestone Development and Nice Man Production. Well, Brad Pitt, it's nice of you to call.
Hey, listen, anything for my buddy. I'll see you on Friday, huh?
All right, say hi to Tarantino. First Taylor Swift, now Brad Pitt. Vera, you bring in the best people.
I do.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
Nick Gelfis plays Dr. Halstead in Chicago Med. He's in the PPG Paints Green Room. Going to be on with us shortly, as is Jeannie Gaffigan, whose brand-new book, When Life Gives You Pears, The Healing Power of Family, Faith, and Funny People. Jeannie's going to be in here as well. Dean Richards on the phone. It's more on entertainment time. Dean, where are you?
I'm in New York City.
What happened? What's happening
it's
there?
The Big Apple.
I know it's the Big Apple. It's the Big Honey Crisp.
What? That's right. I'm doing interviews. Whenever I travel anywhere, I like to interview people, talk to people. The Pulse of America.
And what movie or TV show?
This is a Netflix series that is premiering this Friday called The Politician, that stars, do you know who Ben Platt is?
Sure, sure.
Ben Platt was the Tony Award-winning actor in Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway.
Yep.
He starred
yep, you're
in
right, he was.
A couple of the Pitch Perfect movies.
Yep, that's right, too.
And he's a very, very talented, very, very talented young actor. We saw him in Chicago. He was in the Book of Mormon in Chicago. And I would be willing to bet money that you had him on the show because he was making the rounds with all the press.
Joe, didn't we have him in here? Didn't we have Ben Platt in here earlier this year?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe you did. I think you did. Anyway, he's starring in this. Gwyneth Paltrow, Bette Midler, a whole host of young actors about a high school student who has aspirations on becoming president of the United States. That doesn't do near justice to the complexity of this story. It's created by Ryan Murphy of Glee fame and so many other television projects. It's really good. Yes, we're going to be talking with the cast today, and in the meanwhile, enjoying the bags of garbage that are on the sidewalk and graffiti and spit everywhere, because that's the real essence of New York City.
Yep, it's that kind of city. We're talking about taking listeners to Prague next week. I vividly remember a trip to New York bringing a bunch of people into New York to go shopping. And these are people that largely had never been in New York City before. We get on a bus in Newark. Everybody's excited. We're going to see New York City. Come out of the Lincoln Tunnel. First thing you see is a guy peeing against a wall.
Start spreading the news.
Welcome to New York.
Wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Nick Gelfis is Dr. Halstead from Chicago Med. He's going to be in here soon. Do you know Nick?
I don't know him personally. I've met him a couple of times.
Very good actor.
But I wouldn't say that I know him, but I like those Chicago guys. I like I've met so many of them from the various Dick Wolf shows that shoot over at the CineSpace Studios.
Mm-hmm.
They're just really nice guys all the way around. Really have enjoyed meeting them all.
And that CineSpace thing has turned into one of Hollywood's favorite places. I mean, if something gets shot in Chicago, it's probably going to be there.
They're expanding it right now, and it's about to become the largest shooting location outside of Hollywood anywhere in the United States. So it's a big deal. They're shooting so much stuff over there, but economically to Chicago, it creates so many jobs. It's revitalizing the Austin neighborhood. They've also set up programs with schools, both high schools and colleges over there, to bring students in to give them, you know, firsthand experience so, you know, they can have some job opportunities when they finish up school.
You know, Dave was recently honored for 30 years as the voice of Northwestern football, basketball, and ping pong. And
congratulations to Dave.
Thank you, Dean.
I might as well announce this now, Dave. Ken Burns is doing a documentary, The Making of Ennit, and it's going to be shot at CineSpace.
All right. It's going to be a 12-hour miniseries.
Right. It takes all 12 hours to really get in there, get behind the Ennit.
Get really behind the story behind Mr. Cat.
All right, the biggest entertainment piece of news today. And by the way, you're welcome to stick around for Nick Gelfis, but I figured you had to get your makeup on, so I'll leave that up to you.
I can stick, because of the time change, I don't have anything to do for a while. So
okay,
I'm fine to stick around. Actually, I have. I don't know if this is the biggest breaking news of the day, but it's it just broke a few minutes ago that Al Franken is going to be back on the air. That's something that we haven't heard prior to this. He's going to be hosting a show on the Sirius satellite radio thing. They're just talking and his observations of the world and such. So he's pretty much kept a low profile since he left the Senate, but looks like he's coming back.
I don't think he's done with politics. I think he's going to do a comeback tour. We shall see. All right, you got anything else? You want me to break and come back?
No, I had a nice bagel and coffee this morning. That was pretty breaking news for me.
And how much
I
is a bagel?
That to Dean.
Oh, you
brought that to Dean.
You bring bagels to New York?
I bring
and
to
here.
Dean's wherever Dean's at, I bring him a bagel.
And a bagel and coffee at a New York hotel this morning cost what?
I believe it was about $25.
More on entertainment. Spending the big money. Nick Gelfis will be in here in a second. Dr. Halstead. Well, here's the deal. If your mother's disappointed because you never became a doctor, become an actor. Because if you're an actor that plays a doctor, you can go, Mom, get off my back. Nick Gelfis is here, and Nick plays Dr. Halstead on Chicago Med. And the guy that put you on the show was on yesterday.
Derek Haas.
Yeah, and he said, you're his favorite actor of all time. He wouldn't work with anyone else. And I don't make stuff up.
And neither did he.
No.
No, no. You can rest assured that's true.
Now, in all seriousness, one of the coolest storylines, and this is what I complimented him on yesterday, is the writing.
Yeah.
Because you guys do stuff that we haven't seen 900 times on every other show. Yeah. And that's a testament to the writing.
Totally.
But what would it be like? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, that's the rip from the headlines. They're always dealing with something that has happened, but we're doing it in just a slightly different manner.
Kind of helps that we live in a nutty time.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I was going to say is, what would happen if you're a doctor and a mob guy is unbelievably nice to you, and he's done things for you, and he's done things for your family, and now you got a wedding coming up, and he wants to help you out with the wedding?
this is my favorite storyline I had to play so far.
A tremendous storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it really was. I actually heard, and I think Derek would have to be the final say on this, but it was just supposed to be one episode or like a few episode arcs, and Dick loved it so much, and they spread it over as far as, you know, first 9 episodes.
Sure, I thought it was great. And Dean Richards joins us from New York. He'd normally be here as we continue more on entertainment. Say hi to the good doctor, Dean.
Doctor, I have a pain right here in my lower. Do you get that a lot with people?
Well, you didn't finish the sentence there. Now, you didn't finish the sentence. I don't know where you were going to go with that.
I believe you specialize in above the belt.
Yeah, I'm just above the belt.
Yeah. That's a school he went to.
Actually, I do get that a lot. Although, what I love is when I walk into a doctor's appointment, they call me doctor. It's a little trippy. But I'm getting used to it, and I'm doing well.
Did you try to get them to show their insurance card?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
You haven't met your deductible yet, doctor? Dean, what did you always want to know from Dr. Halstead?
Well, what I like to know whenever I talk to anybody from any of the Dick Wolf shows is what the experience is like for you shooting in Chicago. I mean, the Dick Wolf company has really kind of changed the whole dynamic with that. But, you know, what's the experience like compared to other projects that you've been on?
Well, it's a privilege, first off. And you know, when you get involved in one of his shows, you have a pretty good idea that they're going to do well, although nothing's guaranteed in our industry. And so I'm looking now back. This is our 5th season we're going into, just for Med. Fire's been going for 8 seasons, PD 7 seasons. So you also know you're getting involved in a community and a family of loyal, professional talent. And so...
So you guys actually like each other.
We do, believe it or not. At the end of 12, 14-hour days, on days off, I'll still go and support a fellow castmate.
You should get other friends.
Yeah, I should. Well, they're all fake friends. None of this is real.
Oh, this is Hollywood friendships.
Fake
Hollywood friends.
Yeah.
Got it. Dean's seen it a million times.
It's in our contract. We have to hang out. No, but we're all transplants. Actors got to move wherever the job goes, and it's kind of amazing that when you get set up with Dick Wolf, I'm part of technically 3 shows. We're in the midst of doing this 3-show crossover currently.
Right.
That Derek had started the story with Dick, and so I'm working on PD now. And it mixes it up. I don't work just on one show. I work on 3, and this pool of people that you're able to interact with all the time is great. It does become your family.
Gee.
I want to know, with actors, there's always a lot of struggle that happens before the success happens. I want to know the very worst jobs you ever had, or give me some sort of really broke story when you were just so broke.
Like you did dinner theater at Denny's.
What terrible job or, you know, what terrible circumstances were you in before this big break happened?
Well, so when I lived in New York City, now, this wasn't necessarily terrible, but this was as low as it got for me. I was eating $1.75 pasta every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at this Italian joint in Queens, New York. And then I would play my guitar Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at various pubs. I never got into the restaurant industry as a server like most actors do.
But you were in the industry as a player.
Yeah, I would busk on the streets. I'd go play in the subways and make money for dinner.
Hold on, you're a young dude. Where are you getting $1.75 pasta anywhere, let alone New York City? And what was it? Because it wasn't pasta.
You know what? I should probably look into that. I didn't ask any questions at the time.
Dean, you're in New York right now. If you find $1.75 pasta anywhere, you're making history.
I actually had $1.75 pasta here last night.
Oh, that's why you had that's why you had a real doctor come to the hotel.
It's a chain.
Well, it's in Woodside, Queens, actually. I don't know if the place is still there.
Department shut it down.
I mean, how was it? Was it tasty? Was the noodle al dente? What was going on?
You don't ask questions when you're that low. You're satisfied that you don't have to pay so much.
How great would it be if you're getting $1.75 pasta and you go, can I ask how this is made? And then the chef comes out and kills you.
It's gluten-free, right? No, and if you wanted to upgrade it to sausage, it was $2.25.
So what kind of guitar? Were you singing? Or was it just instrumental?
Yes, I would sing and play background dinner music.
Oh, that's perfect. Want to bring the guitar in right now?
Yeah, bring it on in.
Ding, 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 ding. All right, Dean, I know you have to go talk to big stars like Dr. Halsted, so one more from you.
Well, just, we know him from the Dick Wolf shows, but I also want to know what his experience was like on one of my favorite shows, Shameless.
That is one bat-ass crazy show.
No kidding. Well, it all started with
one of the greatest.
Yeah, and that was my first time in Chicago, ever shooting in Chicago for that show, and it all started with a nudity contract.
Oh, fantastic. By the way, me too.
Yeah?
Yeah, 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 same deal.
But your viewers don't get to see, unfortunately.
Well, no, I'm trying to get nudity into the contract.
Oh, I see.
You went the different way.
We have to tell him to put his clothes on every day.
Yeah, I'm trying to get them to agree to limited tasteful nudity
I see. No, it's like initiation for Shameless. If you don't go on there and show some sort of your but now we're talking below the belt.
Yeah.
Now we can go back
your
to
hoo-ha.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to show your hoo-ha.
But I will say that was the most fun. I mean, I played a drug addict at the time, so mm-hmm. my parents are much happier that I'm a doctor. I am now more accepted.
By the way, what a turnaround in your life. I must say. It's very impressive.
No, but there's no consequences. You just have that. I mean, that's the beauty of what we do. You can get crazy, and it's all fun.
Dean, $1.75 pasta awaits you. Good luck today. Tell Bette Midler we said hello. And this has been Moron Entertainment. Thank you, my fellow moron.
We'll do. Talk to you guys tomorrow. See you guys.
Right, see you, Dean. You thanks.
That's Dean live from his hotel where he had a $25 bagel and coffee this morning.
Yeah, Chicago.
New York price. Where'd you grow up?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah. Real town. Real town, real people. How about your Browns? Rough start, but are they going to get it together?
I have hope.
It's supposed to be a big season.
Hope. Yeah, I know. Hyped up, a lot of anticipation. Unfortunately, first game and then this most recent one. But we have a win in there.
All right, we got a real listener who actually wants to ask you a question.
A real
person?
To the
stupid stuff I've been asking you. Okay. David, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. I appreciate the time. You were talking about it's an honor to be working in Chicago. From what I've read, other Wolf shows that have been shot in Chicago, people tap out because of the weather. I mean, you guys have to work in all types of weather. How do you prepare yourself? I mean, I know your show's mostly inside, but it's snowing, it's raining and snowing and sunny on the same day. How do you get ready for just being out there in the elements?
I was born into
by Lake
Effect.
Erie.
Yeah, I was born by Lake Erie, so it was already in my blood, even though I went to Los Angeles for 3 years and I probably lost everything that I had within me.
So you insist on exterior shots when it's crappy outside because it reminds you of home.
Exactly. It does make me make me feel better.
Right.
No, this isn't too bad. And like he said, he's right. We are spoiled on the Med Show. We're inside all the time. We're doing this big three-show crossover currently, and it was all location stuff, and I'm waking up at the, Craig, that's actually what Danielle told me this morning when we woke up. She's
this
like,
"This guy is so from Cleveland."
By the way, I get up at 4 every day. I'm 27 years old, so I understand the toll it takes. G, last word.
Worst or coolest material used in fake surgery or what's used for blood? Something.
So this storyline he's talking about with the mob guys.
Ray Burke.
My wedding. Ray Burke. I drilled through a guy's head with an actual drill in a boathouse. That was my favorite thing I've ever gotten to do on screen, regardless of medicine or whatever.
Right.
Wow. I mean, and I got to show my hoo-ha.
Dark.
Yeah.
And
you are really a dark person.
No, but here's the
special. But here's the thing. This is a struggling local Chicago actor who wanted to do anything to get on the show but didn't know that was the scene.
That's right. And I did it with ease.
So you wouldn't believe how I got in the business.
I'm ready to play a serial killer, I guess.
What did they use for that?
Dexter.
It can't be a wood head.
No, our special effects made this mold out of this guy, out of the actor that played it. He sat in for like hours to get a cast mold of himself, and I don't think he was able to breathe very well for a certain amount of it. But then they made it look like it was his head, and wow. I drilled through a prosthetic. where they had a blood stuff already involved.
Make sure you
and
didn't
everything.
Slip with it the was, drill.
Oh, no, I know. No, and you only had one take of it because how many heads did they make of this dude? So they wanted to see the drill literally go into the head.
All right, this will be a test of who your best friend is.
Yeah.
Who'd you call first to tell him you did that?
My mom.
Your mom?
My mom's a nurse.
Oh, mom, wow. You wouldn't believe what I did at work today.
I did neurosurgery.
By the way, that drill was a rental. It had to be back at Lowe's by 11. It's great to meet you. I hope you come over here anytime. Anytime you got a few minutes and you're not hanging out with the people on the show to suck up to Wolf, come on over.
Thank you. And I don't need to wear clothes, apparently, right?
No, not at all.
No nudity contracts here? No,
Steve does. You don't have to.
Right. And I will continue to be your stunt double.
Thank you.
I want people to know that.
No, I appreciate it.
Any of the real dangerous stuff because of our similar appearances, they asked me to come in for you.
No, and I know you wanted to drill that guy's head. I'm sorry.
Totally.
I had to do it that time.
With this forehead, can you imagine the drilling you'd have to do? Holy cow. Great to see you, man. Nick Gelfis, Dr. Halstead from Chicago Med. And again, watch Chicago Med, Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, Chicago Podiatrist.
Chicago Streets and Sanitation.
Chicago Streets and San.
Yeah.
Streets and San. Yeah. But you don't want to add itation. They'll think you're a guy from Cleveland.
Sorry, my bad. Good to know.
Right. In Chicago politics, with really the worst people are on Chicago politics. Great to have you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. All right, break, and we'll come back with the headlines on 720 WGN.
Bacon's the best. Even the frying of bacon sounds like applause. It's like, yay, bacon! You know how good bacon is? To improve other food, they wrap it in bacon. If it weren't for bacon, we wouldn't even know what a water chestnut is.
Thank you, bacon. Sincerely, Water Chestnut III.
Bacon. I love bacon.
Well, that's my friend Jim Gavigan, who was just on the show. Was it last week?
It was.
Yeah, and the podcast is up. You can hear Jim and I have a very serious discussion about male burdens. I say that in front of his lovely and talented wife. But first off, if you're a writer, director, and producer, you're plenty busy. Okay, now throw five kids on top of it. You're way busier. Now throw a major medical scare on top of it. How do you look so great? How are you alive, woman? Jeannie Gaffigan's here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. And I'm every day asking myself that question, like, how am I alive? Because the size and location of the brain tumor that they found in my head, in my brain, when I was too busy to even, take one more appointment on.
Sure, sure.
When I looked at it, it was pretty much a death sentence. And it was a moment in my life where I had to look at everything and say, how do I have time to deal with it, like potentially dying right now?
Isn't that amazing?
What have I done?
You literally had to think, I don't know if I have time to get this sick.
Yeah, I just didn't. And I feel like when I was facing that, I had to look at what I had created in terms of scheduling for all my kids and my husband and my life.
Five kids.
And say, have I created a manageable situation for someone else to take over? So in this book that I wrote about
this
experience.
By the way, it's called When Life Gives You Pears, The Healing Power of Family, Faith, and Funny People. Out and available everywhere. Get at least two copies. You're careless. Download a couple more. You'll have backups.
Thank you.
When you said you wrote this book.
Yes. And just to explain the title, the tumor was the size of a pear.
A big pear.
So when life gives you pears, what do? So you make pear-aid, right? So, So basically, I had this face-to-face encounter with my mortality, and like many people don't, I had the opportunity to come out of it and heal, and I had a series of miracles happened, medical and spiritual, to get me through this time and coming out on the other side. Yes, I have a paralyzed vocal cord and there's some residual issues, but I mean, I'm pretty great. I'm doing pretty great.
You look amazing.
Thank you. And I have to live every day with not only gratitude, but also what did I take out of this? And a lot of it was I was really letting my life and my obligations run me. And now I have to kind of take my own control of my life and also allow my kids to do some stuff for themselves.
It's such a great lesson for everybody. You know, the super mom syndrome, right?
It's super mom
syndrome.
About
super mom with a brain tumor, and you're still going to try to get everything done.
And I think that the super mom thing, it's, it might sound like a humble brag, but it's also like kind of an addiction. It's kind of like addicted to doing too much.
We talk about it all the time, though, in relation to women taking care of themselves. And we always stress that if you're not taking care of yourself, the whole system falls. Because you are always taking care of us, and we're not sure how to do stuff if you're not okay. And in a situation like this with you, how long would you say, in your words, you were down? Because I would think that Jim and everybody had to say, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to relax, and you're going to get better. How much of that went on?
Well, there was a period of time for probably like 3 months where I was literally attached to some kind of tube. So I couldn't do things. So I was forced to take a sabbatical. You know, I was forced to go into my own inner monastery and observe my life and see my children and see my husband and see what life I had created. And
was it a blessing in a weird way?
It was a blessing. And I'm so grateful for this experience that I went through. I don't regret it. And I'm completely grateful that I had this moment because I wouldn't have stopped. I mean, when I was directing the Jim Gaffigan show, at the one of the episodes that I was directing, I sprained my foot. And instead of going to the doctor, I asked the PA to go get me some crutches from the props department. We can't stop.
We can't possibly stop. I'm in terrible pain, but we can't stop. When you get over on the other side of this and they say, we think we got it, we think you're going to be okay, what kind of day is that?
I mean, it was, you know, the time to just understand that there are people that were in that ICU with me that never got out.
Right.
And, or people that are still there. And it was a moment of humility. And you know, just that feeling of humble, like just to feel, I am so blessed to have this second chance,
right.
And I'm not going to waste it.
It's a very cool message. It's when life gives you pairs, the healing power of family, faith, and funny people. I want to get John and G in here. G.
You mentioned that you felt gratitude for this entire experience. That's an incredible outlook to have. And you said you had a spiritual awakening. What was the one thing that surprised you the most, or what changed the most about you? I'm sure you look at life totally differently now.
Yeah, I think that if there was one thing, because there were many things, but if there was one thing that it was the ability to listen to the wisdom that's always going on inside you, that still small voice that is telling you the right choice to make. And when you're listening to all the noise and you're just following your to-do list of what you have to accomplish during the day, it's impossible to hear that voice. And so I was forced in a situation where all I could do was like stare at the ceiling and listen to that voice.
Well, it's like God says, you're not going to slow down. You're going to slow down, you know, and God forbid you should get a brain tumor to have yourself catch up. But, you know, it gave you this. When life gives you pairs, we'll come back, talk more about it, get John in here as well.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
We're down to just a couple of minutes here. John, jump in. Jeannie Gaffigan's here. The book, again, is called When Life Gives You Pairs, The Healing Power of Family, Faith, and Funny People. I'm insisting everyone read it.
Oh, it's and you know, here's my question, because
yes.
You know, we're dealing with being a comedian and everything, so it's always funny, it's humor, but all of a sudden, you've got this serious thing. So where does the anger, how did that just, you must have been angry at some point, and it just, did it just show up periodically? Or?
I think the anger came from me not knowing what was going on, okay. And having to let go of control, because I'm a very, you know, controlling person, and people really don't know who I am because I'm behind the scenes.
Right.
And at a certain point, it became very clear that if we were going to have 5 kids, and one of us had to be in the background, and Jim is like the front man, you know? And so that was it became a very comfortable position for me to be in, but I was also like kind of driving the bus.
Right.
And the frustration came from me being unable to do any of those things. And when I had to be in the hospital and not able to move, talk, eat, do anything, run anything, know what was going on, I got angry. And it was like a withdrawal from a drug.
Okay.
From control.
Well, I think that's one of the other interesting aspects about this whole thing, because you were the person that was helping Jim, helping him. You know, he was the front man. He was the one, you know, in the limelight. And here you were helping him write, helping him produce, helping you know, direct all of these things. But then through this process, you've had to step into the light as well, into the spotlight to talk about your story. That's an interesting turn of events.
It is an interesting turn of events. It's like I always joke, like I got profiled in like a neurosurgery magazine, and I got on the cover of
that's
a magazine.
Not something you expect as a resume credit in show business.
So everyone's like taking pictures in the doctor's office. They're like, you're on the cover of Medical Weekly or whatever. And I'm like, wow, if I had known all I needed to do was get a brain tumor to be a cover girl, I would have gotten one ages ago. I mean, come on.
What's more important when you go through a life scare like that? Living in the moment or a sense of humor? Are they equal?
I think they're equal. I mean, I really feel like the people around me who came into the hospital and were bright and funny and made inappropriate jokes to me helped me heal. And I think that we're kind of programmed as a culture to go into the hospital if we visit someone, say, "Oh, I'm sick too," and you know, kind of be
Debbie
Downer.
I've got an aunt who I could tell you about because I don't know what else to say to you. That kind of thing.
Right. Or and just to be quiet and reverent, and it's kind of depressing if you're sitting in the hospital. See all these sad people.
I'm so glad you're talking about that because you've seen it a million times and you go, look, I know I'm sick. So let's not focus on the fact that I'm sick. Tell me about your life. Let's talk about my life and just let's act normal for
I know a lot of people don't have this kind of network of like comedians coming to visit them. So I'm very blessed. But like my friend Karen Bergreen is a comedian and she came in to visit me. And the first thing she said was, what, you're not even bald? And I came all the way uptown. You know, like that kind of thing. Like I was like on feeding tubes, so I had lost like 20 pounds. And my friends were like, wow, that hospital gown looks really great on you. But I guess you can wear anything when you're model skinny, you know. And it's just inappropriate. But it was like
it's
so funny.
It's the best.
And Jim, when I got home, was just, you know, hit. Like I had the miraculous benefit of being married to like the funniest man on the planet.
Sure.
So these really humiliating, horrible things that I had to go through, like the feeding tube.
Sure.
He made it into like the funniest. He mean he made a like a cooking show, and he would be and he would like make you know the double meaning of I had a peg tube. Uh-huh. So he'd always be like I'm doing a show where I peg my wife, which apparently is like something really gross and dirty. But
yeah,
like he was injecting like, you know, formula into a hose. And he was like lighting a candle and being like, this is how the romantic dinner would go. And he made a YouTube channel on his YouTube channel called Feeding Frenzy, in which he had episodes where he would put food in my peg. And it was like a funny, uplifting.
And I bet you got comments from people going, thank you.
Really? There's a whole food tube community saying, thank you for normalizing this experience and helping us laugh.
I don't know that we want to let the secret out, but it turns out Jim Gaffigan is not just a really good guy. He's a great husband.
It turns out.
Who is more surprised about that than Jeannie Gaffigan?
Wow.
Congratulations. The book's tremendous.
Thank you so much.
When Life Gives You Pears, the healing power of family, faith, and funny people, get it or buy it for somebody. I mean, you talk about something nice to bring to somebody that's not feeling great. Give them that.
Absolutely.
And God bless you. Keep up the great success.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Minute after 9, news next, 720 WGN.
Trubisky will have the easy toss to Gabriel for the score. Trubisky, easy, wasn't it? Gabriel again. Able to avoid the pressure and then launches it to the end zone. Gabriel out of bounds. Does he have one firm control there, John Perry?
I like it as a catch.
Do you really?
I do. I like 2 feet down. Great athletic play. Great catch by a Chicago Bears.
Incredible athletic play. Promise that you'll never find another
like me. Oh, look, it's the Swifties. You know who was at the last Taylor Swift fan club meeting, G, at my house, at my treehouse?
Who?
Adam Hoke.
Really?
Yeah, Adam Hoke.
Both of you are Swifties.
Yeah, no question about it. In about 10 minutes, I'm going to ask Steve Grzanich to come back and join us to give us a complete breakdown of what we know of the transcript of this call between Trump and the leader of Ukraine, as that story is breaking big right now. But before that, Adam Hoke joins us to talk about them Bears. And if we have time, we'll get into the fact that you're a Swiftie.
I'm not even going to deny that one, Steve.
That's what I'm saying. Why would you? It's the truth. What do you want, an investigation? I don't think so.
No, not on this one.
Adam Hoke joins us. All right, look, it's undeniable that the Bears were better, that they took steps, that they're headed in the right direction. But what did you see that makes it better than that?
Well, all right, I don't want to be Mr. Negative. I don't even know that I can answer that positively.
Answer it truthfully. How about that for a change?
Well, I feel like that's what I always do.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
All right.
I'm all caught up in the other story.
Okay. Well, let me narrow that down, though. Offensively, I don't know that I could do that. Defensively, the one complaint I did have the first 2 weeks, look, the defense was playing great. They weren't taking the ball away, though. This was a defense that had 36 takeaways, and it's hard to necessarily say, oh, man, you're playing great, but you're not taking the ball away, and use that as a criticism. But when you were considering the output of the offense at the same time, and you were looking back on last year and you're saying, well, let's not forget, this team survived because of their defense. They were 12-4 really because of their defense, and they kind of covered up a lot of the offensive problems a year ago with those 36 takeaways. I was waiting for them to break out, and boy, did they break out on defense with 5 takeaways against Case Keenum, who, let's just face it, guys, is not an NFL starter. He never really has been, and it's only a matter of time before Dwayne Haskins takes over there in Washington. But they did their job against a bad football team. Offensively, I still came out of this game and I said, great, yes, Mitch took a step forward. The offense took a step forward. I like how Nagy is adapting from week to week, coming up with specific game plans, not unlike Bill Belichick does week to week, to beat his opponent. He's done that each of the last 2 weeks. That's encouraging. I still see problems, though, guys, that they got to figure out and overcome.
Just be more consistency, Adam, or is it?
Well, right. Because look, a lot of this happened in the stretch in the second quarter, where they scored all their touchdowns, and two of them I think were coming off of takeaways too. So let's not, you know, the takeaways were a part of those last two touchdowns that were scored by the Bears, and so it's all part of the equation here, guys. I think that you look at the rest. Look at halftime. I wanted them to keep the foot on the gas and say, all right, is this offensive explosion here for real, or is it becoming as a result of, A, the takeaways the defense are giving them, and, two, they're playing a really bad opponent? And unfortunately, in the second half, there just wasn't enough consistency on offense, and it still leaves me to question, like, what might happen Sunday when they're playing a much better defense in the Minnesota Vikings.
NFL snack insider John DeCoste is here. John knows from snacks. He's a big Bugle guy. Do you have a legitimate football question?
Yes, I do. No, I actually do have one.
Okay, what is it?
Hey, Adam, John DeCause, Janesville Sentinel. So here's my question. You know, they were talking about they tried to simplify things for Mitchell Trubisky.
Yep.
Okay, fine. But last year, I mean, he had a game with 6 touchdowns. His playoff performance was phenomenal. He looks worse today than he did last year, and that was before it got simplified. Can you explain that?
Well, and first of all, John's question, football questions are always legitimate, I think.
well said, buddy.
That's my Swifty. Yeah.
No, but that was one of my biggest concerns the first 2 weeks of the season was, come on, this guy should not be regressing. There's just no reason that he should be regressing. And so I think it's a completely fair question you bring up. Now, what I will say is if you look back at last year, a lot of his, like, the 6 touchdown performance came against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. True. And his best game of the year, in my opinion, was against the Lions. Okay, these weren't playoff opponents. He did play well at the end of the game against the Eagles in the playoffs, which is why I thought, all right, this guy's going to take the next step. Obviously, that hasn't really happened. I love what Matt Nagy did on Monday night because, look, there's no debate. He's not seeing the field that well, Mitch Trubisky. So Matt, as his coach, is doing the right things. He's simplifying things in terms of formations, in terms of the amount of plays that they're going into the game with, and a lot of things that make Mitch comfortable. Rolling out, splitting the field in half so he doesn't have to read the whole field, reading only half the field. And if you noticed, you watch closely, they were getting to the line of scrimmage early, which, for those that don't know, the headset in Mitch's helmet turns off at 15 seconds left on the play clock. Until 15 seconds, Matt Nagy can talk to him. So Matt Nagy can help him at the line of scrimmage and talk in his ears until 15 seconds. So I think that also played a role in why they were getting the line of scrimmage so early, and Matt was communicating a little bit more. Now, you can criticize that, oh, here's Mitch Trubisky in year 3, and he still needs all this help. Fine. I look at it like whatever gets you a victory, and I really think Matt Nagy has done a great job the last 2 weeks against the Broncos and the Redskins.
By the way, I just went on the web, the Janesville Sentinel. I can't find their website. But what you're saying, basically,
Adam, is that this week, I mean, this becomes even a bigger game for Mitch Trubisky because he had the big game against Tampa Bay. Now he had a big game against Washington, but now he's facing a good defense as he did in that terrible game against Green Bay to start the season.
Yeah, exactly. And look, he played okay against the Vikings last year, but not great. And I think the big difference here, guys, is that the Vikings' offense is improved. They got a new defensive coordinator that's running. Or, I'm sorry, offensive coordinator that's concentrating on running the football a little bit more. They have Dalvin Cook back there, so it's not all on the arm of Kirk Cousins, who has not played well in big football games. And so that's where I go back to. All right. You got away with a couple games last year where Mitch didn't play well in primetime, and you still managed to win at Soldier Field, like against the Vikings and against the Rams. I just don't know that they're going to be able to get away with that consistently this season, especially in a matchup like this Sunday where I think the Vikings offense is going to be a little bit better. Now, that being said, they still have to face the Bears defense, and this Bears defense looks incredibly legitimate. They are dealing with some injuries here, though. Like Akeem Hicks's knee is concerning. I think it's something he's been dealing with, and he's going to have to fight through. But it's a factor, and so I just don't. They just can't depend on the defense getting five takeaways every game. It's not going to happen.
You know, I see Trubisky, and it looks like a Jeff George problem, and I don't know that it can be fixed right away. Wow. But you know, a guy that could throw it through a wall or throw it into the upper deck, but can't hit a guy in a bubble. And can't throw a simple screen at times. And then he'll thread the needle on the corner of the end zone, and he goes, could be the greatest of all time. That's the consistency I think you're talking about. All right, one more. Mary Vanderbilt.
I was concerned. You were saying that defense is, you know, did all the great takeaways and all that. But, man, Adam, I was so scared at the end of that game because they were going to score again. I'm like, could someone stop them from catching the ball? Are you guys concerned about the cornerback situation?
Well, I think that, and I understand where you're coming from, Mary. I think they backed off a little bit, gave a little bit more cushion.
Lazy?
Well, it's not laziness. It's when you got a big lead, don't give up the big play. You know, you can allow your opponent to dink and dunk their way down the field. Now, they were getting kind of big chunks of yardage at times, but I think they were also looking at, like, look, Case Keenum's going to give us the ball eventually. He consistently keeps doing that. And then, sure enough, you get that 4th-and-1 situation.
Yeah, but that was
where
luck.
Everybody in the stands knew it was going to be a quarterback sneak because of the way Kirk Cousins was standing under a center. And then he unbelievably tried to reach the ball over the first down line, which you don't do unless it's the goal line. And sure enough, the Bears poked the ball away and got it back. So it was one of those games where I think they were comfortable sitting back and allowing them to pick up some yardage, knowing that they weren't going to give up a ton of points.
Well, they made me uncomfortable, that's for sure.
And don't do that to Mary.
Yeah, I will pass that along to Chuck Pagano tomorrow when we talk to him, okay?
It's Adam Hoag, Bears and the Vikings, and you were, of course, also part of the Northwestern shindig. They're going to beat Wisconsin this weekend.
They are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, and Dave knows this. They have played really good defense against Jonathan Taylor, best running back in college football the last 2 years. And I was also thinking about that game 2 years ago against Saquon Barkley that they held him to, I think, 0 yards in the first half.
Yep. And then he got got going finally in the third
quarter. Well, you don't have to bring that up. No,
this weekend, it's going to be like a pickup truck running over a badger on a rural road. Do you pick it up and check if it's okay, or do you just move on? Never pick up a badger.
No, you don't.
Never.
The badger.
All right. Thank you, Adam Hoag.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
See you later. We're coming back to try to give you at least a couple of minutes of what's just happened, and that's the transcript of the whistleblower call, or I should say the transcript of the president's call to the Ukraine, tipped by a whistleblower, has been released. Steve will give us some information on it prior to his news, which is at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to Steve next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, at the risk of stepping on your news here, Steve, I think it's important we give a little bit of time to this, if it's just a couple of minutes. The transcript of the call between President Zelensky of Ukraine and President Trump has been released. Now, I've just taken a quick look at it here, and there's certainly some intimations of pressure from Trump, but I didn't see in my quick view of it anything specifically that says, if you don't do as I ask, you're not going to get the money we said we'd loan you. Did you?
No, I did not see that, but we have to, let me stress something right off the bat. This is not a transcript of the phone call.
These are the notes of the transcript.
It's a memorandum of telephone conversation, and it says very clearly on here that this memorandum is not a verbatim transcript of the discussion. It's the text of records and notes of recollections of situation room duty officers and NSC policy staff assigned to listen in and memorialize the conversation.
I'm glad you brought that up. It's a very important piece of this, because without the exact record, you don't know what was said.
Exactly. So the one point that jumps out at it is the president tells President Zelensky of Ukraine, I would like you to do us a favor, because our country has been through a lot. He goes on to explain the Mueller report, and then he says, I would like to have the Attorney General
call you or your people.
Call you or your people. He also mentions a little bit later on Rudy Giuliani getting in touch with the Ukraine president, again, about this investigation of Biden's son, Hunter Biden, suggesting that he wanted that investigation to go forward, to be picked back up again, suggesting that there was something corrupt with the Bidens, and wanted the president of Ukraine to investigate that. So that's the meat and potatoes of it. He repeatedly sort of prods the Ukraine's new leader to work with Giuliani and Barr on that, to investigate. They didn't get into specifics about how that would go. But there is that. And then Zelensky responds to the president by saying, yes, he knows it's very important for me, everything that you just mentioned earlier. And again, insinuates that he is going to follow through on that. He says he has a new prosecutor there, that there's a new ambassador involved as well, suggesting that he was going to move forward on perhaps investigating the Bidens.
And there has been an investigation of the Bidens. It showed nothing. Now, you can certainly have a quarrel with the fact that Hunter Biden was paid millions to sit on a board of a company there that could have been problematic, but there's nothing in there that said the vice president did something out of hand to shut down anything, illegal or otherwise. The interesting thing here, Steve, before we go to the news, Barr is probably the least trustworthy person in America right now, if you believe that the Trump administration is dirty. Doesn't Barr have to recuse himself going forward in this if he's named here?
It's interesting that you bring that up. That would certainly be one of the questions that I think one side of this might ask. There's also this from the Department of Justice this morning. DOJ has already determined, according to the White House, that no violation of election law was made here, that this conversation does not violate the election law that we would look at. So that in itself suggests that the Justice Department has been involved in this for a while, to be able to sort of review this and have that involved.
And they've already moved on.
Right. And then the other part of it is Rudy Giuliani, he's the president's personal attorney. He's not an employee of the United States government. He was not sent there by the State Department, even though he says he was. The State Department sort of blew that out of the water a little bit yesterday. So, again, the legal basis for their and both of their involvement is one that will be questioned, I think, all day as we move forward.
.939 My friend and yours, Ro Khan, joins us now. And Ro, we're talking about the big story. And by the big story, I mean the headline, a walrus defending her walrus cubs sank a Russian Navy boat in the Arctic Ocean.
It's a great picture of the walrus, by the way, in that. I don't know how they got that. I don't know. Is that the same walrus or a different walrus, the picture?
I think the old saying, we've all heard it for our entire life, don't mess with a mother walrus. Yes, I think that comes true.
Cuckoo, ca-choo.
Right. Ro Khan, ABC makes a very good point here in ABC News I'm talking about now. The five-page memorandum of understanding, a summation, not the transcript, but a summation of the call between Zelensky and Trump, a 30-minute phone call summarized in these five pages in big, big font, is not the entire phone call.
Oh, no, but there's enough in there for, obviously this has been released by the White House, so there's enough in there for both Republicans to that wish to defend the president can do that, where there's enough ammunition in there for that. And then there's enough ammunition for Democrats who wish to impeach the president to find something. The most interesting piece here, I know you were just talking about this right before the break, is that the Department of Justice apparently had been looking at this for a while. Probably aware, my guess is, that this whistleblower had already gone to the inspector general, and then that they had been alerted that the inspector general was investigating this phone call, which is, as we know, took place at the end of July. And so if that had been an ongoing investigation, they had already determined that there wasn't actually criminal activity. That's what the Justice Department, that's what the Attorney General has determined. Now, there are going to be a lot of questions about that. And there's a quid. The interesting thing here is the argument is that there's no quid pro quo. The problem with that argument is on page 2 of this memorandum. They do bring up the aid. The Ukrainian president thanks him. Thanks Donald Trump for the aid. The president of the United States for the aid. And then Donald Trump says, "Okay, but we need you to help us with something."
Yeah, you got the aid, and we need a favor. And the favor was laid out. Now, Rudy Giuliani does not work for the government. Rudy Giuliani is Trump's private attorney. Mm-hmm. Giuliani is Trump's private attorney working in negotiations with another country to find information that could be politically damaging to an opponent. Five-page memorandum is plenty for that to be problematic, as is the fact that the attorney general, Mr. Barr, has already said nothing here. No fire, just smoke, nothing here. So doesn't he have to recuse himself? Same thing I brought up to Steve.
Recuse himself in what way? I mean, their business is done already. They've already made a determination.
Right, but in the investigation of this, anything going forward, recusing?
Well, there could be an independent. I mean, this is the question. Now, will there be a request for an independent prosecutor, an independent mm-hmm. counsel, whatever, you know, however we want to call that
term,
these days, yeah, to special counsel and to investigate this? I don't think there's any appetite for that. I think, you know, you're a year out, you're 13 months out from an election, and it's not, I don't think that there's going to be enough of a, there's too much peril here. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday. I mean, I get this. There's, like everything else that has happened, you know, over the last number of years here, is that there's enough for both sides because they are so far apart from each other to you know, take up their lances and take up their arguments, right? This right now is probably going to, the more that we turn this into a story about impeachment, as the Democrats, you know, go forward here with the inquiry, and Republicans won't. I'm assuming we're not going to cooperate with that, right? I mean, I don't know, but I'm assuming that there not going to be a whole lot of Republicans running out there and going, "Yeah, that finally they got him." Okay, you know, where's Pence? I don't think I don't think we're going to see that.
Right.
So by the way,
Pence is staring lovingly at Donald Trump. That's where he is at all times.
So I think what we're going to run into here is very simple. Which is that Democrats are going to say, "Hey, what? Don't you see what we're telling you here? This is bad. This is illegal." And the Republicans go, "Well, I don't know. The Justice Department said it wasn't illegal, and all you people want to do is
hassle
impeach
the
Trump.
Big guy.
Well, or impeach Trump, or overturn an election from 2016. There's a new election coming up in 2020. Let the people decide." And that, I think, is going to be, it's going to be great for the president's fundraising and for his for his argument that he makes to his fans, which I think is the best way of putting it in a lot of ways, because I think, you know, there are Republicans who like him because they just like foreign policy stuff that he's doing or whatever, and, you know, economic things. But then there are people who just love him, don't really care too much about policy or anything. Like, they just love a guy. They love the character of him. And I think that those people are going to rally. So it's going to be like it was in 2016. It's going to be a big turnout and I think very close.
I think the one thing that is the rock in the shoe through this, or as Dan Hampton put it the other day, the hair on the skin of your teeth. The one thing that you need to keep an eye on here is Trump losing Republican senators, because Mitch McConnell stepping up yesterday, and he doesn't get any credit for this, but stepping up yesterday and saying the president needs to turn over the transcript is something we haven't seen. We've seen no backbone. And if he starts losing Republican senators who are in tough reelection fights, as the public becomes more aware of the story and they want answers and want to know why the senator who wants their vote isn't demanding answers from the president, that could be an issue.
I don't think so. But because I don't think that Mitch McConnell is going to turn here. I think that there's too much at stake. And he, if he turns, he's certainly imperiled in Kentucky. you know, people stay home.
Well, he's already in peril in Kentucky. That's a super close race, and it could get closer.
But if he, if people stay home, he needs to whip. I mean, the whole point here is to whip up as much support and as much energy into these races and increase in, increase that turnout for the people that, that you know are going to come out. And I can't remember the exact number, but I know that that Trump won Kentucky in 16 by more than 5%. I think it was close to double digits. So this is, you know, that's that would be a crazy loss, right? If, in especially Mitch McConnell's been there for a billion years, but this is, can't you just hear the firestorm here though? Because I know I can. I hear the people who've been arguing on both sides continue to argue on both sides and continue not to. To give in and on any point. And I think that the people who are locked in at the moment, that's really the question. That's really the question. So people who are locked in at the moment are locked in, and I think they're going to be locked in for the next 13 months. And if there is actually, and let me ask you this question. If there is a trial in the Senate next summer, which is about the earliest it could happen, early, you know, toward the fall, then you're going to have senators who were running for president, one who probably will be running for president, and I'm going to guess that that's going to be Elizabeth Warren, cast a deciding vote on the impeachment of her opponent.
Yeah, right.
I mean, well, imagine the crisis.
This is the insanity that we're living in, and the slowness of Congress couldn't be coming at a worse time. Because here's the bottom line. If there's nothing to be ashamed of, Mr. President, release the transcript. It's the same thing that was said to Richard Nixon. It's the same thing that was said to Bill Clinton before he lied under oath. You have to, at bare minimum, demand that the President of the United States tells the truth. And there's nothing to hide here, Mr. President, then prove it. You're going to look like a hero. You're going to have more material than ever to use against the Democrats. So stand up, be a man, and prove it.
You know, the other piece here, well, first of all, there isn't going to be a full transcript. They don't transcribe these things. These are just notes that are being taken by these people.
But there's got to be a recording of the call that exists.
I don't know that I'm not sure that's true.
Yeah, the Nixon 5000 recording device is still in there.
The Nixon 1970. Right. It was a great model. Just keep rolling this reel to reels. Yeah.
Nobody knows why there's a large thump.
Click. I don't know if there is. I mean, well, if there is, I'm sure that there will be a subpoena for it. But you know, as the House Intel Committee is looking for the stuff, and then I mean, and then the machinations of all of that, right? And then again, America like goes, oh, what's going to happen here? America has to decide here. Americans have to decide. You have to look at this sum total of what these last 20 years have been like and what these last 3 years have been like, or 4 years by the time we get to the voting booth, and then decide, are you doing this? Is this working for America? Is this what we want America to be? Or do we want to make a change? And the question is, and it'll be the same thing. I have a lot of friends who've said to me, listen, I don't necessarily like the way that the president behaves, but what are my choices here? Because they want economic growth, or they want things that they ascribe to the president. And is Elizabeth Warren, if she is the... I'm already calling this race, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. You keep bringing her up.
Yeah, well, I think Biden's locked out now. I think that Biden, because it's really going to be about... Because if Biden is the candidate, then it's, you know, Biden was trying to protect his son, and, you know, Trump was doing the right thing.
Yeah, but it all comes down to the middle. The far right is going to believe what they're going to believe. The far left is going to believe what they're right. going to believe. It all comes down to the middle. And whether that middle is 20, 30, 40, 50%, it comes down to the 100 million people who wouldn't even get off their duffs and vote last time.
Right.
Because we have the massive turnout and this story continues to go into 2020, I frankly don't know if it's a negative or the positive for the Democrats. I'd like to see a positive for America, and congressional oversight is a necessity. There's precedents we're talking about, and there's a need to have it done. It's outlandish that it took Nancy Pelosi this long to actually step up, and it's outlandish that the Republicans in the Senate, a co-equal branch, haven't insisted on more. But I'm telling you, Donald Trump, big listener to the show. Just release all the notes. Release anything you have that shows you're innocent, because I'd love to see that. I would love to see it and stop talking about it.
He's already given, what has been released is already enough for Democrats to go run with. right?
But I don't see anything in here. I've read it a couple of times. I don't see anything in here that he can't slip out of.
Well, right. But it's again, this is all you're going to get is a memorandum. And I, that's
Nixon 5,000.
They're going to have to, they would have to request that. And I don't, that will be the next piece. Well, the whistleblower will know that.
Right.
Right? The whistleblower will know if these things are actually recorded.
Right.
Because the whistleblower was somebody who would be responsible for making sure that all of this stuff, you know, is properly documented.
Here's the thing, and I shouldn't say this. We know the identity of the whistleblower. It's Steve Dale from Pet Central. And we're all shocked by it. We didn't know he had that kind of access, but we hope he tells the truth as well. Just tell the truth. Everybody, just tell the truth.
Just so you know if his bark is worse than his bite.
Oh, that's bad.
Okay,
see, that wasn't good.
Steve, could you slap yourself? Because I can't reach you from here.
That was not good. I would say, though, that if there is a reference to Ukrainian... The Ukrainian strain of canine influenza.
Is that, well, see, I didn't get to that part.
That's on page 6.
I did not get to that part.
I got it.
All right, this afternoon at 3, here's the good news. Roe will be talking about other stuff. And this will come up, but this is not the focus of the show. Because by 3, we may know a lot more. We may know nothing. And thank you for stopping by, Mr. Cock.
Thank you, Mr. Cock.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Texters blowing up the text line at 312-9172-100, 4-4. If impeachment goes to trial and the Senate lets Trump off the hook, as will happen in a partisan way, it puts a target on the back of every GOP up for election in November. There's no question. What the whistleblower says, wasn't that a song? What the whistleblower says?
Yep. Smokey Robinson.
I thought it was Bob Dylan.
No,
what, what the whistleblower says is key. So we'll see what goes on from here. I would just like a day where there's no Trump news, where there's no Democrats news. Mm-hmm. I would just like a day where Washington is unplugged and we don't hear a word from them.
Probably later in the week, Steve.
Let me grab one quick phone call here at 9:56. Hello?
Hello. Hello, my little Papa Frita, my little Chimba.
I'm sorry, who's this?
It's Sophia. What are you talking about? You can't you tell by my accent? You always make fun of my accent.
Sophia Loren?
Sophia Vergara.
Oh!
Steve.
Sophia Vergara is on the phone.
There's so many different English words that I don't know. I don't even know how to pronounce them, and I always have difficulty. And I was trying to think, because I'm coming in for your show on Friday, how do you say it in English? Is it comedy show?
Yes. Yes, it's comedy show. I got to say two things. One, your English is dramatically better. And two, you sound like a full-grown man.
Oh, well, I'm very... that's a compliment. Thank
it's
you very
early.
Much.
It's morning
it's
voice.
It's early, yes.
It's morning
Thank
voice. I think you're Thank speaking you. Of the stand-up comedy tour, the Cochran Comedy Tour, which is going to be Friday night, this Friday night, a couple of nights from now, at the Beverly Arts Center. BeverlyArtsCenter.org for tickets, or call the box office at 773-445-3838. Because you're my show business sister, Sophia Vergara, you, of course, get as many comps as you need.
Oh, that is so nice, Steve. I'm actually here with Brad Pitt. He's the one who told me. I didn't even know about it.
He's going to be there, Steve. I saw that in Cup's column this morning.
Put Brad Pitt back on the line, if you don't mind, Sophia. We had Brad Pitt on the show.
Brad, come here.
Brad Pitt was on the show earlier. Let's see
I
if
heard
we can
him.
Get Brad. Brad's on again.
He doesn't want to, he said he already talked to you, I guess.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I did not know that you already spoke to him this morning.
Sounds like a great party.
Lost in translation, he can't understand me either, so...
Yeah, I see what happened there. Sophia, thank you very much. And can I ask just quickly what you're wearing?
Sure, pooches.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but it sounds delightful. Thank you, Sophia Vergara. I mean, it's just me, or did that sound not like Sophia Vergara?
Sounded just like Sophia Vergara. I was amazed.
You guys would know.
You got all the stars coming out to your show,
There's
Steve.
No question.
Wow.
Sophia Vergara, Brad Pitt. Who else called this one?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift called. Oprah called the other day.
Oprah called. She's coming.
Yeah. Oprah's picking up Applebee's for everybody that's going to be the show.
Delicious.
All of those guys.
So good.
And at 10 o'clock, Bill and Wendy are here. Thanks, John DeCoste, for coming in. Dave Ennett, thanks for coming in. Dave's special guest on the show today.
I appreciate that. It's my honor to be on your show.
Viv and Joe and Steve and Steve and Mary and G and me and you. And what are you guys doing today?
Well, we are going to talk about fall plantings with Tony Fulmer, one of our horticulturist friends.
If you are not Mr. Green Thumb, he shoves his bit down your throat every couple of days, doesn't he?
I want
to talk
more.
About more greenery.
It's seasonal, you know?
So's Bill. There's times of the year.
More flora, Steve.
Okay.
More flora.
But that's not just that. You got a bunch of stuff.
No, just that.
Oh, it's just that.
That's that, yeah, for 3 hours.
Okay. I'll planting all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Stand by for the planting show, and we'll come back tomorrow, as far as I know, and see you then.